Salam Khabatinos, Raj, welcome back to the 393rd episode of Thought Behind Things. Today is the 22nd of December 2023. And today we have Raza Mateen, who is the founder of PayPro, Brandverse, Chiku. And previously, wo Google mein the, and he was instrumental in getting YouTube unblocked in Pakistan. Today's conversation is very important. One is that in Pakistan, the sentiment hai, of business, of economy, of startups, I wanted to understand, because alhamdulillah, he is doing well. And they recently had a very interesting and fascinating announcement as well. So where there are many startups jo hai, wo, wrap up kar rahi hai, wo, MLAs की तरफ जा रही हैं. यहाँ पर एक एक्चुअली स्टार्टअप है जो कि कोर प्रॉब्लम के ऊपर फोकस करके देर एक्चुअली स्टेडिली ग्रोइंग. इनकी रिसेंटली बैंक एंड फ्ला के साथ एक अनाउंसमेंट भी आई थी, वी स्पोक अबाउट दैट एज वेल. अनफॉर्चुनेटली वी डिड नॉट हैव इनफ टाइम, ही हैड टू गो टू अनदर मीटिंग. तो मैंने तो इनसे साढ़े तीन घंटा कहीं नहीं जाना था, कॉन्वर्जेशन प्लान की भी थी, बट वी हैड टू कट इट शॉर्ट. आई वुड लाइक टू अपोलोजाइज बिकॉज मैंने रियलाइज नहीं किया, बट मेरा जो कैमरा था इट वॉज नॉट रिकॉर्डिंग, और इट वॉज रिकॉर्डिंग. विल सी के इसको किस तरीके से हम फिक्स करते हैं. सो देर इज़ अ सिग्निफिकेंट पार्ट फॉर एन आवर जिसमें जो मेरी फुटेज है वो थोड़ी सी मिसिंग होगी, अजीब होगी. तो आई डू अपोलोजाइज फॉर दैट, बट लार्जली बिकॉज द गेस्ट वॉज स्पीकिंग एंड दैट फुटेज इज़ देयर. सो इशू होना नहीं चाहिए. अगर आप चैनल पे नए हैं तो सब्सक्राइब करना मत भूलिएगा. अगर आप पुराने हैं तो वीडियो को लाइक करना मत भूलिएगा. इट रियली हेल्प्स द एल्गोरिथम. अगर आपके कोई थॉट्स हैं तो हमें कमेंट सेक्शन में जरूर आके बताएं. आई रीड ऑल द कमेंट्स, रियली हेल्प्स मी इंप्रूव द क्वालिटी ऑफ द कॉन्वर्सेशन. अगर आप ओवरसीज पाकिस्तानी हैं तो नीचे लिंक के ऊपर क्लिक करके आप हमें सपोर्ट कर सकते हैं थ्रू स्ट्राइप एंड हेल्प अस रिमेन इंडिपेंडेंट फॉर एज लॉन्ग एज पॉसिबल. बट एनीवेज, दिस इज रज़ा मतीन ऑन टीबीटी गो दुबई स्टूडियो. Raza, how are you?
Doing well.
Thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
मुझे पहले तो थोड़ा सा बताइएगा, just to start off, where were you born and early life आपने कहाँ पे गुजारी?
Born right here in Dubai.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Spent the first 6 years of my life in Dubai, then moved across to Oman. Mm-hmm. Spent the next 11-12 years there. Moved across to Canada and at the age of 17 or 18. And university there. So started right here.
Oh, just down the road. So you've never really lived in Pakistan long enough until you actually ended up there a few years ago.
Absolutely. I moved to Pakistan. I didn't move back.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was this because your father was working in a sort of an MNC, moving around consistently, or were you guys just hopping jobs or...
No, I grew up a very privileged life. My father was a accountant, chartered accountant with one of the large firms in the Middle East. He led the practice across the region. So we sort of grew up here very comfortable, very safe, very insulated as it happens in this part of the world. And then, moved to Canada at, when he sort of retired.
Right. क्योंकि मेरा अपना एक 2.5 साल का बेटा है और मैं बड़ा उसके बारे में सोचता हूँ कि यार अगली जनरेशन है तो पाकिस्तानी, बट ग्रोइंग अप आउटसाइड ऑफ पाकिस्तान उसके बहुत सारे फ़ायदे हैं. यू आर इंटरेक्टिंग विद अ लॉट ऑफ डिफरेंट नेशनैलिटीज, अ लॉट ऑफ डिफरेंट कल्चर्स. बट इफ आई वुड टू आस्क यू, आपका जो पाकिस्तान के साथ रिलेशनशिप था ग्रोइंग अप, व्हाट वाज दैट लाइक, नोइंग दैट यू आर इनहेरेंटली ए पाकिस्तानी? आई एम अज्यूमिंग कि शादियों वगैरह पे तो आप आते होंगे फैमिली की.
या आई मीन ड्यूरिंग द समर्स, यू नो, ग्रैंड पेरेंट्स स्पेंडिंग टाइम हियर विद कजिन्स एक्सेट्रा एंड व्हाट नॉट. सो यू नो एट लीस्ट अ कपल ऑफ टाइम्स अ ईयर वी वर इन पाकिस्तान, इफ नॉट मोर.
सो व्हाट वाज द रिलेशनशिप लाइक?
Distant, I think. You know, I don't think if you actually ever live here, you get a true appreciation for the nuances and you build that strong relationship with the culture, the people, the cities. I think, when I finally did move to Pakistan, in the mid-2010s, etc. and whatnot, that was when I actually started really building a deeper relationship with the country and the people and the culture. I think people overstate your connectivity with a country based on these small interactions or these short interactions. I don't think you truly build that part of the identity. I think, because our parents are Pakistani, because they grew up here, because we speak the language, because we eat the food, there is the cultural component is there. I think that gets inculcated. But do we really think of ourselves as Pakistani? at that age, or one who we share a lot of commonality with the average Pakistani? No, absolutely not. Not especially if you grew up outside of Pakistan like we did.
Interesting. So 2010 mein you said you moved to Pakistan.
2012.
Why did that happen? Balki usse pehle, where did you go for your university?
Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Yeah, Canada.
And what did you pursue?
Economics.
Acha.
Yeah. Everyone would have always thought that I'd pursued a technology-related degree, but no. High school had a great economics teacher, fell in love with the subject. By the third year of university, fell out of love with the subject, but finished it nonetheless. But
and what year was this?
The year I graduated, class of 2005 or 6, I want to think.
Right.
Something like that.
And so where did you work? Straight up.
So right after university, I was sort of pulled back to, shortly after that, I sort of came back to Pakistan. My father and my mother had moved back to Pakistan. They wanted to spend their golden years in the country as they'd gotten older. As he said, I think, you know, you want to be there to be able to wipe the tears of your brothers and sisters, et cetera, and whatnot, especially when they've lived most of their adult life outside of Pakistan. So they got into a couple of things. They started, my father started a technology venture. A year later, I got a call for help that you need to come and help. So I sort of moved across to Pakistan, spent a bit of time here, didn't really work out that well. I couldn't really find myself compatible with the Pakistani way of working. So I ended up going back to Canada, ended up getting into project management, worked in retail, retail project management, setting up sort of facilities and projects across the country in Canada. And then, you know, the call to come back home became very strong. So with aging parents, that's often the case. So I came back to Pakistan. So more or less since then, been in Pakistan since pretty much 2012.
And what did you do when you came back? Did you come back with a plan, or did you just come back and were like, dekhi jayegi kya hota?
No, I think, look, the work that I had started earlier when I was here, that company had sort of moved on a little bit. It had changed course at that point in time. We created a fintech. That fintech today is known as PayPro. It's a payments company in Pakistan. Did that for a while, but then sort of got bored with that, went and did the Google thing for a while, in starting, I think, more or less 2015, I want to say.
What was that?
I was the country consultant representative for Google in Pakistan for the better part of 5 years.
Okay. What does that entail?
Taking care of things in Pakistan.
Okay.
Making things
sales don't related mostly, a policy and everything.
A little bit of, I'd like to say, a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Right. So supporting the sales. 2015
was a year before YouTube got unbanned.
Yeah, we're part of that effort, bringing YouTube back. It's one of my finer contributions to the country.
What was happening at the time with YouTube? दुनिया भर में टेक्नोलॉजी बहुत इवॉल्व कर चुकी है. अब आप घर बैठे एक मोबाइल फ़ोन से पूरी दुनिया में किसी किस्म की भी डिफरेंट एसेट्स, स्टॉक्स या इवन क्रिप्टो करेंसीज खरीद सकते हैं. जहां पर ये टेक्नोलॉजिकल एवोल्यूशन आया, वहां पे भी अनफॉर्चुनेटली हालात ऐसे हैं कि इकॉनमी एक ऐसी जगह पर पहुंची हुई है कि बड़े आजकल बुरे हालात हैं. इन्फ्लेशन बहुत ज़्यादा बढ़ रही है, सेविंग्स हमारी डिप्लीट हो रही हैं, ज़्यादातर लोग इन्वेस्टमेंट्स करते ही नहीं हैं, और जो करते भी हैं वो 90% लॉसेज अनफॉर्चुनेटली बनाते हैं. इसी प्रॉब्लम को सॉल्व कर रहा है सरमाया.pk, जो कि अपने फाइनेंशियल ट्रेडिंग प्लेटफॉर्म्स पे ट्रेनिंग्स भी ऑफर करता है और डेटा भी ऑफर करता है, जिससे आप पूरी दुनिया की मार्केट्स, खासकर पाकिस्तानी मार्केट्स को बआसानी देख सकते हैं. अगर आप लोग अपने इन्वेस्टमेंट्स और ट्रेडिंग में स्ट्रगल कर रहे हैं, तो आई वुड डेफिनेटली अर्ज यू टू चेक आउट सरमाया फाइनेंशियल प्लेटफॉर्म. इट्स अ रिमार्केबल प्लेस, जहां पर आपको बहुत इंटरेस्टिंग यू नो रिपोर्ट्स के थ्रू डेटा भी मिलता है, इन्वेस्टमेंट के एडवाइस भी मिलती है, और खासकर उनकी ट्रेनिंग्स जहां पर उनके एक्सपर्ट्स जो हैं वो आपको क्रिप्टो और स्टॉक मार्केट और कमोडिटीज़ और एसेट्स के अंदर ट्रेड करके पैसे कमाना सिखाते हैं. सो चेक आउट द प्लेटफॉर्म एंड चेक आउट देयर ट्रेनिंग्स. नाउ बैक टू द पॉडकास्ट.
So interesting issue. We were sort of at a stalemate situation. And when I say we, when I'm talking about Google, where, you know, the government of Pakistan was unwilling to bend on their request that they have oversight on the content in Pakistan.
Okay. And the idea was that they can remove any content as they wish?
That's correct.
Right.
For them to have discretion over it.
Right.
Effectively to be able to curate the content that Pakistan sees, and potentially even take down content that Pakistan feels is offensive at a global level.
Right.
So no one would be able to see it. Obviously, this was incompatible with the values of Google and the policies there. Google did have a policy of creating lenses for countries where certain content is made unavailable in certain parts of the world based on social nuances, cultural acceptability, et cetera, and whatnot, which they do in this part of the world as well and whatnot. But at the time that I joined, Google was and the government of Pakistan were at a bit of a stalemate. Neither one was willing to budge and get to the point in the conversation required where a solution could be hammered out. On the government side, what they didn't want to be seen doing is kowtowing to the likes of a Google. And certainly no one in the government wanted to be seen as giving Google permission to sort of do as they wish, right? I mean, that was a very politically unfavorable decision, especially given the circumstances in which YouTube was banned in the first place. So, you know, it was interesting times, right? At that point in time, we didn't have YouTube ads or that you could.
We didn't even realize the potential of what could happen with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had no idea.
And so how did it eventually get resolved?
It's an interesting story, but what I can tell you is the way we did it is we were able to push internally, and a lot of credit goes to, nearly entirely goes to Tanya, who's very famous, as you know, for making this happen. But the way we ended up doing it is we had to really make the case internally at Google to proactively provide lensing to Pakistan, localization, which is what you see today when you sort of go into Pakistan. You see a specific set of content that's deemed culturally acceptable, and where changes and edits can be made by the government according to Google policy.
But for within Pakistan only.
For within Pakistan, right? But to bring that to the table, there was a tremendous amount of internal machinery that had to move to even make that a possibility. Mm. And what Tanya and the rest of the team, including myself, did was we had to first sell Pakistan. We had to sell it internally at the highest levels that this massive effort, and it's not just a matter of flipping on a switch or anything along those lines, right? It's actually a engineering effort. It's a product decision. There's a many layers, many, many stakeholders that need to be placated before something like this can happen. We had to make that case that this is something that should happen. And we did. And the way we did it is there's only so much we can show of Pakistan on a slide deck, right? And what we ended up doing was bringing key leadership of Google to Pakistan, doing a wonderful 4-day trip across Pakistan, whirlwind whistle stop tour, you know, meeting everyone from folks at the government to titans of business industry to creative artists like yourself and students and entrepreneurs and startups, and really helping them understand that Pakistan was worth taking this internal fight on for, and that there was reason to do so, and not just commercial, that, you know, at the end of the day, Pakistanis deserved the opportunity to learn and benefit from things like YouTube, just like everyone else. And if that required a little bit of leniency or a little bit of flexibility internally, that it was worth fighting for. And we did, and we got it. And, you know, I think I have that newspaper article framed somewhere inside my home, right? October, I think it was sometime in October that officially, you know, YouTube was unbanned.
And in terms of, I mean, aapne us time pe becha, probably slides banayi hongi, kuch na kuch wo kiya hoga. How important do you think Pakistan is for YouTube, but rather, agar main isko wider karun, for the global tech platform industry, if that makes sense? What I'm trying to understand is, you know, we hear about this, we're the fifth largest country in the world, huge numbers of people online, so on and so forth. آن اے سمپلر وہ تو ظاہر ہے اگر میں را نمبر پہ دیکھوں تو بہت ایک امپورٹنٹ پوٹینشلی امپورٹنٹ مارکیٹ اپیئر ہوتی ہے بٹ ظاہر ہے اس میں یہ ایلیمنٹ بھی ہے کہ اس میں سے جو لوگ کنیکٹیڈ ہیں وہ تین روپے پر ڈے کے حساب سے کہ انٹرنیٹ کے اوپر تو ہیں لیکن کیا وہ اس کی اکنامکس میں آتے ہیں, کیا ان کو ایڈ سرو ہو سکتے ہیں, کیا ایکچوئل پیسہ ڈرائیو ہو رہا ہے, یا یو آر لائک اے, کیونکہ ایوری ٹائم یو آر واچنگ اے ویڈیو اسینشلی یو آر گوگل از لوزنگ منی رائٹ, اے ڈبلیو ایس کا یا جس کا بھی کلاؤڈ کا. سو آر یو ون آف دوز کہ نمبر تو بہت بڑا ہے بٹ یو ناٹ ریئلی ویلیویبل آڈینس فار اینی پلیٹ فارم فار دیٹ میٹر.
سو انٹرسٹنگلی انف دیٹ نیریٹو, دا 240 million پیپل, ون آف دا یگسٹ پاپولیشنز ان دا ورلڈ, دی ون آف دا لوئسٹ میڈین ایجز ان دا ورلڈ, ہائیلی کنیکٹڈ اور انکریزنگلی کنیکٹڈ پاپولیشن, یو نو ہائی پروفیشنسی ان انگلش ریلیٹیو ٹو لاٹ آف ادر مارکیٹس, دیٹ نیریٹو واز unashamedly created by myself and my colleagues at Google when we were trying to sell Pakistan internally to get a lot of our product issues and challenges sorted. So I, you know, there are a few common folks that we know that sort of were a part of that. And that narrative just sort of propagated itself the more it was shown, etc. and whatnot. It became part of folklore. But, you know, the numbers are not everything. Right, and numbers can be shaped to suit a particular narrative, and I have no shame in saying that we did it for what we needed to do at the time, which was to sell the potential of Pakistan. Now, one part of it is the potential of Pakistan, one is the realizable potential of Pakistan. The reality is, yes, we have 240 million people, but we also have 240 million people who are largely with a low level of education, average level of education, a low level of disposable income, at a wholesale level, low level of actual consistent connectivity. That's not as attractive as when you just say 240 million people, right? So the reality is we have a large, connected, young population that has disposable income. And that number is a subset of 240 million people. Let's say about 50, 60. That's not a small population, you know, that's the size of the UK, right? So it is absolutely a market worthwhile going after, but it's not a 240 million market either, right? So the market's actually a lot smaller. The challenge that we have and the challenge that Pakistan faces is that it's 60 million people amongst 240 million people, right? It's and that those 240 million people are across a very large geographic area, across many different cities with many different cultural nuances, etc. So it's not as easy as launching a product or a service in Pakistan and just because it's useful that it'll catch fire. The challenges of distribution, sales, and marketing are very complex in Pakistan because of the fabric of the country and the way it's done. So yes, is the opportunity there? Absolutely. Is it as large as we would like to think or others would like us have us think? No. Is it realizable? Is it something we can take advantage of? Absolutely. Why not?
Interesting. You left in 2020, that Google position.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? By mid-20. Why did you leave?
Desire to do something more substantial. Mm. At a personal level, I think, you know, maybe you have those moments, and maybe COVID was one of those moments where it made you think that if you were to die and people were to look back on your life, what would they say about you? Like, what have you accomplished? Have you left footprints in the sand or have you left mountains, right? And I was very clear that I did not want my life to be a bunch of reports or some advertising sales numbers or something like that. It had to be much more substantial. And, you know, the appreciation I'd gained from my time at Google was that you can be ambitious. You can think 10x, right? You can be crazy in terms of ideation. And, you know, you match that with the ability to execute and you can maybe make some great things happen. From my previous life working in technology, I'd also seen, and even at Google, I'd seen that technology has a very real ability to uplift not just economically, but socially and otherwise, the lives of people. So, you know, I sort of struggled with the idea that technology was only for the big banks or the big IT companies or large enterprises of this world, that I fundamentally believe that every business deserves the chance to be a better business, right? And that's sort of the mission I sort of ran after. And, you know, I credit Google for a lot of that thinking, right, about how digital tools can actually help drive growth. And not, you know, you don't have to have a parasitic relationship with technology, right? You can actually have a beneficial relationship with technology. And how do we make that happen for Pakistan?
Explain that thought, parasitic relationship versus beneficial relationship.
So it's interesting, right? Go to a retailer today, and he will have this credit card machine that sits on his counter, right? Ask him how much that credit card machine costs, right? In his business, he'll say 1.6%, 1.8%. That's what it costs me to process a transaction. Ask him what he gets in return. He'd be like, you know, I get the money in my account 2 days later, right? So it cost him 1.8% of a transaction to get the money 2 days later, and ask him what was the benefit of all of this. He would say, I don't know, right? But what has it actually solved for him? He's not sure, right? So to me, technology positioned in that fashion is parasitic, right? It's not actually value additive to that merchant, right? How can we use technology in a way to get that customer or get that merchant more growth? How can we help him find new customers? How can we increase the average sale to his customers? How can we increase his profitability? How can we make sure he loses less money on certain transactions or less on inventory, right? Mm. These are things that technology can do, right? And because of that, technology can actually be a force of uplift for businesses, right? Or it doesn't have to be parasitic. But then that brings about the question, why hasn't it been done yet? Why aren't more businesses using technology? And that's the problem I set out to solve.
What was that problem? Like, so 2020, you leave Google and you started BrandBuzz straight up?
Yeah, more or less. I actually had started it while I was at Google. So I was literally doing my startup and I was doing my work at Google at the same time. So doing two jobs, burning the candle on both sides.
Tell me about BrandBuzz. And it's not just BrandBuzz. You spoke about Pay Pro, then there's BrandWars, and then there's Chiku, right? So agar aap tino ko explain kar sakein ke what are all these things that you do and how do they connect really? Because they're theoretically in three very different areas. And it's ek manage karna mushkil hota hai, teen kaise manage ho rahe?
Sure. Let's talk about Pay Pro first because that sequentially came first, right? So Pay Pro is really interesting in the sense that when I moved to Pakistan, more or less the second time, or maybe even a little bit earlier, I was amazed at the fact that we were constantly still using cash, right? I was paying my bills in cash, by check, et cetera, and whatnot. It's like, there's got to be a better way to be able to pay our bills digitally. I mean, we did everything in Canada digitally, right? You paid, you even sent money over email, right? Why can't we do the same thing in Pakistan? So we realized that the rails existed, right? The issue was that no one had really taken those rails and turned them into a business solution to enable others to accept digital payments. So what we created with PayPro was effectively digital invoicing and digital payment. So whether it's paying your school bills, whether it's paying your water bill, your electricity bill, or anything else, PayPro takes a bill from a merchant or a business, sends it to a consumer, gives them the option to pay for it digitally, and facilitates that transaction and the reconciliation, and makes a little money in between.
Interesting. Right?
So what PayPro does is enable companies to send bills, collect payments against those bills, and complete the transaction.
Makes sense. Isme mujhe ek baat batayenge, for example, agar main aaj jo product as it exists today, let's assume I'm a school. I have 150 kids in my school. And every 2 months, you know, the parents have to pay the fee. Ya to aayenge aur aake wo cash denge. Mera koi accountant baitha hoga. Ya wo ek bank account pe transfer karke ek screenshot mujhe bhejenge jisko mere accountant ko reconciliation karni padegi. Ya teesra potential tarika, ye jo meri understanding hai based on what you guys do, is that ek autonomous tarike se customer added hai. Wo 2 month ke hisab se wo dekhega ki acha iska 2 month pura hua hai. वो ऑटोनोमसली इनवॉइस जनरेट करेगा और उनको ईमेल कर देगा या उनको टेक्स्ट मैसेज या व्हाट्सएप, उसके ऊपर वो एक लिंक के साथ अपीयर हो जाएगा. वंस इट्स अपीयर्ड, वो उसके ऊपर जा सकते हैं और जाके वो उसी वक्त बिल पे कर सकते हैं.
बिल्कुल.
अब वो जो बिल पे है वो किस प्रोसेस के थ्रू हो रहा है? क्रेडिट कार्ड, डेबिट कार्ड, बैंक ट्रांसफर, ईजी पैसा, हाउ डज दैट वर्क?
सो इफेक्टिवली व्हाट दिस व्हाट पेपर अलाउज बिलर्स टू डू, लेट्स से इन योर एग्जांपल द स्कूल, is take the list of students that need to pay. That list could be in the form, it could be an API connected to our system, or it could be literally an Excel file that someone creates and uploads, right? We send that information to the parents through SMS, email, WhatsApp, whatever channel is required. They receive it and they can then pay that bill through credit card, debit card. They can pay it through their banking apps. They can pay it through Easy Paisa, Jazz Cash, and other sort of solutions. The minute they pay it, right, the bill is set off and settled instantly. They get a confirmation that the bill's been paid and the transaction is complete. This pales in comparison to standing in line at a bank branch for hours, trying with a particular form, trying to send money in over a counter, etc., and whatnot. So that's the issue it solves.
How do you reconcile the payment and the confirmation, right? So jo payment hai wo, let's assume main gaya aur maine choose kiya bank transfer. Now am I transferring it to the PayPro bank account or am I transferring it to the customer bank account? And once I'm transferring it, to my understanding is pre-rast, you're not getting enough information from the person who's transferring to reconcile that, right? So pehle hota tha kisi wajah se aap e-commerce mein hote the to aapne ek payment kiya aur fir aapko ek screenshot bhejni padti thi.
Yeah,
to confirm.
You don't need to do any screenshots with the solution, right? And the initial solution was built on OneLink, and OneLink actually provides you the ability for a third party like PayPro to send and receive confirmations on transactions.
Okay.
And it's not, there's no screenshots involved, it happens programmatically through APIs. And those APIs existed before PayPro existed. No one was using them, right? So I think it goes to my point about, you know, I say a lot about the fact that we need to build business solutions, not services. The same services that we built PayPro on existed for maybe 3, 4, 5 years before we did it. But it's only when we start building it that people said, oh, okay, so you can also do this with the same set of rails.
Hmm.
Yeah, why not? So I think it's just a matter of looking at rails and trying to figure out what can be done. In which case, the specific rails we used at OneLink was the bill presentment system, right?
It's very similar to what Stripe does in a lot of ways. Invoice creation, online payment processing, and so on. Pakistan mein aajkal ek nayi government aayi hai, IT minister ke har tweet ke niche likha hota hai PayPal aur Stripe kab aa raha hai Pakistan. और मैं काफ़ी दफ़ा ये सोचता हूँ कि यार एसेंशियली वाई कॉन्ट वी बिल्ड आर ओन एंड देन कनेक्ट दैट टू अ ग्लोबल स्ट्रक्चर और गेट एक्वायर्ड लेटर ऑन. इस केस में जो, एंड रिसेंटली आई हैड समवन जिनकी पास फंडिंग भी है स्ट्राइप की,
सेफ पे
एब्सोल्युटली. एंड इंटरेस्टिंगली उनका मैं गया, मैंने जाके व्हेन दे वर कमिंग इन तो आई वेंट टू अप्लाई फॉर इट और मैंने वो पूरा फॉर्म वगैरह फिल किया. And then I never heard back from them again. And there's that problem in Pakistan, right? Ke hamesha baat hoti hai fintech ke space mein, particularly every quarter there are 2-3 new players, there are a few licenses that pop up, and but hamesha wo jo product solution bani hoti hai wo ek 1% ki 1% audience ke liye hoti hai, jo ke ek perfect demographic hoti hai, jo ke more often than not kaun hoga, ek bada sa retailer hoga Sapphire jaisa, और वो एक बड़ा सा ये होगा और बड़ा सा वो होगा. इकोनॉमी पूरी आपकी एसएमई पे चल रही है. एसएमई लार्जली वो चाहे भी ना तो उसको लिफ्ट ही नहीं कराई जाती. मैं इधर आया दुबई में तो मैंने स्ट्राइप, मेरा जब बैंक अकाउंट खुल गया ना तो उसके तकरीबन आई थिंक 2 दिन बाद मैंने, वैसे ही मैं गया तो नॉर्मली पाकिस्तान में तो फिनटेक में घुसने के लिए आपको बड़ा ना सूट शूट पहन के बैठना पड़ता है कि यार आज फोकस करके मैं ये करूँगा। तो मैंने बिस्तर पे था, मैंने स्ट्राइप अब खोला, इंफॉर्मेशन डाली, उसने मुझसे चार चीज़ें पूछी, के वाई सी उसने पूरी की, उसने कहा जी अपना कंपनी का लाइसेंस दो, बैंक अकाउंट का ये दो वो दो, सारा कुछ डिजिटली अवेलेबल था, वो भी चूंकि डिजिटल था, डॉक्यूमेंट्स भी डिजिटल थी, वो मैंने साथ साथ अपलोड किया। आई थिंक विद इन 3 आवर्स आई वॉज रेडी टू टेक माई फर्स्ट पेमेंट। मैंने उसी वक्त अपना इन्वॉइस बनाया, मैंने अपने पाकिस्तानी क्रेडिट कार्ड से 10 दिरहम की वो की और पैसा आ गया। पाकिस्तान में सिमिलर सिचुएशन अगेन, सेफ पे इज ट्राइंग टू डू दैट, देर अनएबल टू, आप भी सिमिलर चीज़ कर रहे हैं, ऑनलाइन इन्वॉइसिंग है, बट वो ऑलवेज फोकस्ड लैंग्वेज में होता है कि फोकस्ड ऑन, यू नो, वी आर टारगेटिंग लार्ज मीडियम एंड लार्ज आइडियली, और हम जो है ना वो बड़ा एक बड़ा प्लेयर के साथ बैठ के काम कर लेंगे, बट जो डिजिटल ऑनबोर्डिंग है, जो हम कह रहे हैं कि यार कोई भी आ जाए, ठीक है KYC है ना, XYZ प्रोवाइड करो, आ जाओ आके कर लो जो करना है, somehow वहाँ तक हम नहीं पहुँच पाते। सो इन योर केस फॉर एग्जाम्पल, लेट्स से आई एम अ स्मॉल एंड मीडियम ई-कॉमर्स प्लेयर एंड आई वॉन्ट अ पेमेंट सोल्यूशन ऑन माई वेबसाइट एंड आई वॉन्ट के मैं जो है वो ये डाल सकूँ, और ना सिर्फ वो कर सकूँ बल्कि सोशल कॉमर्स में बड़े प्लेयर्स हैं आजकल, वो रन टाइम पे लाइव वीडियोज़ में बेच रहे होते हैं, तो उनके लिए तो बहुत ही यूज़फुल चीज़ होगी कि जैसे ही वो बंदे ने बिड करके फाइनल किया, उसको उसने ठक करके भेजा टेलर टू हिज ऑर्डर, और वो जी इनवॉइस पेमेंट हुई नहीं और पीछे से प्रोसेस हो गया, राइट? हम वहाँ तक पहुँच नहीं पाते। व्हाई डू यू थिंक दैट इज़ इन पाकिस्तान?
Because we aren't truthful with ourselves. And this is something that you'll hear constantly from me. I think we say 240 million people, but who are those actually 240 million people? And even those within those 240 million, the 60 million people, who are those people, right? That could actually use our service, could benefit from it in a meaningful and tangible way. The reality is even within those 60 million people, we go for a further subset. Especially when we start creating products in a vacuum, which is what often, unfortunately, a lot of us are guilty of doing, including myself at times, right? Where we'll create something and then try to figure out who can use it or who should be using it, right? For us, the challenge, at least with PayPro, was that using that system that we'd created was required a certain level of hygiene. Right, it assumed a certain level of understanding of technology. You had to create a CSV or an Excel file, or you had to have a system where you stored your students, their parents' information, etc., and whatnot, because that's the information that went into the system. Then that handled the billing.
Right.
So institutions or businesses that did not have some form of digital readiness. Could not really use the system in a meaningful way, right? Which is why the thinking sort of started becoming that it's not about just digital payments, because digital payments don't exist in a vacuum.
Right.
Digital payments are a component or one of the many rails that form a full business solution, right? And that's what sort of informed the next idea, right? Was that we need to go beyond payments. Today, however, just to answer your question, PayPro offers apps that can be used by individuals, businesses to go in, sign up, and then start generating invoices, accepting payments, etc., and whatnot as an individual. But it's taken 4 years to get there.
But right. it's now live?
Yeah, it's there.
And is it purely digital onboarding? Like if let's
it
say
is
there,
digital
is a,
onboarding. Yeah.
There is a e-commerce player,
so it's not 3 hours. Right.
Either way,
but it is digital onboarding.
Can you drive me through the process for people who might be listening? Let's say there's a girl in Sahiwal, she sells jode banage and okay.
There's a caveat there, right. And I don't want to digress too much, but the caveat there is due to the restrictions of the sort of schemes and sort of the payment networks, only registered businesses can use it, right? So informal businesses, which could be me or you as individual capacity, are not typically allowed to directly register on these platforms.
Right.
You require intermediary who effectively takes responsibility for you, who does the KYC, KYB, etc., and whatnot. Because as an informal business, what documentation are you going to provide me as a business? So PayPro today does not cater to informal businesses. It's something that's on our roadmap. There is an accommodation for it, which is known as the marketplace model, and we're working on that. But that's what the other company
makes sense
solves.
Because to be very honest, hamara Dubai mein, it's the same thing, right? Company ke agar maine wo license na dala hota na to mujhe nahi milna tha.
Absolutely.
Which is why main isme ghusna chah raha tha, because I wanted to inform the consumer as well ki yaar bada simple sa hai, 15,000 rupaye aap ek lawyer ko de wo abhi company 2 minute mein register karke laake aapko pura wo FBR ka challan form bhi de dega. But if you have that FBR document that says that this is a, let's say, a sole proprietor company that has been registered,
you
give that and you give your NIC,
and you'll get basically be able to accept card, debit, wallet payments and bank transfers, and you can send payment links, etc. and whatnot to whoever you like.
And how long does the payment take to fall into your account once it's been made?
It should be 24 hours.
24 hours, really?
Yeah.
And how long does it take for the onboarding to complete?
So to, I believe it's 24 to 48 hours as of today.
And are you able to, at this point in time, scale kitna aa raha hai in terms of kitne log aa rahe hain aur kitna aap manage kar
pa rahe hain? So the transaction volumes continue to grow. But what we
registration.
I think that's a great question. I don't have that number off the top of my head right now.
But it's manageable.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyunki safe pe se meri baat hui, unhone kaha yaar itna wo ekdam se flood aaya ke hamare paas infrastructure hi nahi hai usko manage karne ka. And which I found interesting because technically it should be.
Oh, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, but nonetheless, so okay, interesting. So you mentioned multiple times, that's where the next problem statement came in. What was the next problem statement?
So sort of the problem, the next problem statement was that it's one thing to do digital payments and to help businesses accept digital payments, but there's a precursor to that. They need to be able to understand what they're invoicing for. They need to have digital tools to help manage their business, because it's not just a matter of swiping the card, right? Or sending an invoice. It's about what happens before that, which is the creation of the invoice, the fact that some inventory was changed or managed, etc. and whatnot. So we start really thinking about what do businesses need to digitally transform themselves, right? What do they need to resemble businesses that we'd see any other part in the world, like, you know, whether it's the Middle East or North America, etc. Those businesses that use digital tools to help drive efficiency, growth, productivity. Why don't we have that in Pakistan? Right? And that's where the thinking for Brandverse came, right? Brandverse is an entity, it's got two personalities or two halves, right? One, it does, it's the only at scale creator of e-commerce content in Pakistan.
Okay.
So
what does that mean? What does that mean for a, again, a girl in Sahiwal, help explain this to her.
Sure. So when you go to, when you order a bottle of water from Carrefour, or maybe another digital surface, the picture and information you see about the water bottle comes from a company like Brandverse. Right? If not us, right?
Right.
And when you start thinking about the fact that everything that you see on the shelves, hundreds of thousands of products that you'll find on in a large supermarket, for example, or a pharmacy, all of those things need to be sold online, and which means all of those things need to be photographed. Someone needs to write the names, the descriptions, and they need to write the ingredients, and it all needs to be accurate. Then you realize that there is actually a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done before you actually see that one product on that website and you hit add to cart, right? But then you also realize that the same product is also being sold by like 300 other retailers, right? So how are they going to do it? Is everyone going to take their own photograph of a product?
It's inefficient as hell.
Everyone going to write their own descriptions? Yeah. And then, you know, my product looks like this on this website, but it looks slightly different on another website, right? Is it the same product? How do I know? So what we've done is, over the course of 5 years, we've built Pakistan's largest aggregated database of high quality product information to the GS1 standard, which is a global standard for supply chain. And we've documented pretty much the entire retail universe in Pakistan. If you give me a product, I can tell you based on its barcode, its ingredients, place of origin, height, size, width, depth. I can tell you its brand name. I can tell you where it was manufactured. I can tell you all of this information. I can even tell you in how it's sold in terms of bulk packaging, right? I can tell you whether it's perishable or not. And all of this is made possible through that content business that we've created. The interesting thing is we started building content for the most boring things in the world, which is things like bottles of water and cans of soup and packs of soap, et cetera, and whatnot. But we found we were so great at creating content at scale, very efficiently and very high quality, we even got into fashion. So some of the largest fashion brands in Pakistan, we create content for them too. All in all, whether it's a bottle of perfume, whether it is a pair of shoes, a can of Coke, or a can of soup, a bottle of water, or the latest dress from one of the leading fashion brands. Chances are, a lot of that content is being created in our facility in Karachi.
Interesting. And this includes all the metadata.
All of it.
The customers, are they... I mean, so they must have a certain set of requirements.
Sure.
But you go above and beyond those requirements. Absolutely. Based on standard global standards.
Absolutely.
You said you created the largest repository in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that repository? I mean, customer to aa raha hai, product de raha hai, product deke wo aapko wo information aap se extract karke le ja raha hai aur ab uske sar ka dard hai ki wo kis tarah usko kare. But you have that repository, right? So is that just sort of your engine that just stays there in a sandbox, or is that being
No, it's open to anyone who wants to use it. So they can come to us, get API access. There is no self-onboarding here, though. You have to come meet us and you get access to it. And then you can consume all the data in our database in your own systems, however you want to use it. So whether you want to use it for retail shelf planning, whether you want to using it for data analysis, or whether you want to use it for enabling magical experiences in your app or platform, we can make it happen.
Has Daraz been working with you guys?
We do work with Daraz as well.
If Daraz is watching, why is their metadata so trashy? How does one make that better?
It's something we're working with them.
And it's nothing to do with Daraz, obviously. The consumer doesn't know enough, but platforms have a problem with that. But you know, you look at, let's say, Amazon, or you look at, I don't know, here, but the other big one, yellow one, Noon. And then you go to Daraz, and it's just mind-boggling. Okay, wait, just picture dali hoti hai, wo bhi generally internet se kahin source hui bhi hai. It's really horrible.
Because it's hard.
Okay.
Because it's difficult to create content. Remember, you're asking. Now think about what you're asking a seller to do. Now the seller is the person that you typically go buy something from within a shop, whether it's a mobile phone or whether it's a toy or whatever.
Mm.
You're asking them to take beautiful photographs and upload them, maybe with nothing other than the cell phone. You're asking them to write fantastic descriptions with detail, and maybe, you know, there's a language barrier, and most likely you're asking them to do it in English, and you're asking for them to be coherent and complete and comprehensive and provide all the information you could possibly find that in store, which you would have received from just picking up that box. The answer is because it's hard. That's why it's not there.
Yeah.
And if Daraz were to put in very, very high standards for content, which Amazon does, you would find that there would be a lot fewer products on Daraz. So it's a check and balance type of thing, but it's also a reflection of seller maturity. I have no doubt in my mind that as time increases or time passes, content quality will also improve across all platforms. And that's a reflection of the maturity of the merchant base.
Right.
That is. But it's worth understanding. But if I,
for example, because you have platform, no, data engine ki baat hai na, usme jo mere liye cheez interest karti hai, wo ye karti hai, and again, I don't know if that is possible with Daraz. Daraz ka apna engine bahut bada aur powerful hai. My understanding is ki main Daraz ke upar jata hu, main ja ke ek product list karne lagta hu. So आपका एक इंजन है, आपने कहा कि बार कोड लेकर आओ, मैं तुम्हें उसका सारा इन्फॉर्मेशन दे दूंगा. मैं उस पर कहता हूँ कि यार, अगेन, बार कोडिंग एक स्टेप पे वो हाइजीन का मसला है कि कंज्यूमर को तो बार कोड शार कोड की सेंस ही नहीं है. वो तो इस प्रोडक्ट उठा रहा है, किसी छोटे शहर में बैठा हुआ है और वो कह रहा है बस मैं उसको डाल देता हूँ. टेक्निकली विद अ सर्टन रिकमेंडेशन इंजन, आप जब द मिनट यू स्टार्ट टू ऐड द टाइटल, इट शुड स्टार्ट सजेस्टिंग यू, इज दिस योर प्रोडक्ट, इज दिस योर प्रोडक्ट, इज दिस योर प्रोडक्ट. एंड द मिनट यू क्लिक ऑन दैट प्रोडक्ट, all of that data should theoretically be fetched from your API and be made to appear.
Absolutely. 100% possible, but you have to understand the Raz is a global platform. Technology innovations and improvements like this are something that they absolutely aspire to, because again, if their sellers are happy, the Raz is happy, consumers are happy, but it's a very difficult thing to achieve. But yes, if the question is, can we make this happen? Can we power better merchant experiences for the Raz sellers? Absolutely. And that applies for every marketplace, including anyone selling on Foodpanda, etc. Because that arduous process of creating and identifying products and cataloging and uploading them can be reduced to a simple camera operation, just scanning a barcode, right?
And done. You don't even need that sort of red Vela barcode machine, just a standard mobile phone camera.
Any smartphone can be the world's most powerful sort of database of products.
Interesting. Right? You talked about Foodpanda, or Foodpanda mein particularly. एक प्रॉब्लम स्टेटमेंट मैं आपके सामने रख रहा हूँ, सी व्हाट यू कैन डू विद दैट. फूडपांडा कोविड के टाइम के ऊपर उन्होंने स्टार्ट किया फूडपांडा शॉप्स, और उसमें सबसे पहले आई ग्रोसरी शॉप्स, क्योंकि उस टाइम पे रिक्वायरमेंट थी. इवेंचुअली फूडपांडा, जो मेरी उनसे बात हुई है, उनको ये रियलाइजेशन हुई कि यार ग्रोसरी शॉप्स वेरी लो मार्जिन, ह्यूज अमाउंट्स ऑफ SKUs, प्राइसेस इन्फ्लेटिंग डिफ्लेटिंग एवरी सिंगल डे. And so it was a logistical nightmare for a person to first list all of the SKUs available, and then connect that to the inventory management. Bada problem ho jata hai because wahan par aapne wo digitize hua bhi nahi hai. And then third, to actually reconcile the prices, right? So aapne ek dafa dal diya, ab 4 din baad ji company ka distributor aaya, usne agla rate diya, usne kaha 2 rupaye price badh gayi hai. Ab aapko jaake wo kaun, to aap ek banda bithaya jo ki subah shaam baith ke yahi karta rahe. And so what they did was they went through to the dark store route, and wahan pe they could maintain that because wo phir head office se manage ho raha tha aur sirf products distribute ho rahi thi. But jis tarah se aapne kaha ke agar essentially let's say 50 karyane ki dukane hain, har karyane ki dukan ko apni dedicated ki masjid banane ki zarurat nahi hai, agar central repository exist karti hai, usko sirf ye batana hai ki yaar ye mera repository hai, ye mere paas product hai, aur wo theoretically प्राइस भी फेच कर सकता है, वो थियोरेटिकली उसके ऊपर एक मार्जिन कॉल बता सकता है कि यार 15% मार्जिन कॉल है मेरी, प्राइस तुमने फेच करनी है सुबह पहली काम में API कॉल करो, लेटेस्ट प्राइस फेच करो, उसके 15% डालो, आगे फेंक दो. इज दैट पॉसिबल विद समथिंग लाइक लेट्स से?
एब्सोल्युटली. इन फैक्ट दैट वाज वन ऑफ आवर हाइपोथेसिस दैट इफेक्टिवली इफ यू आर एबल टू टेक दैट सिंपल आइडिया ऑफ अ बारकोड एंड बिल्ड कॉन्टेक्स्ट अराउंड इट, यू कैन इफेक्टिवली क्रिएट द लैंग्वेज ऑफ कॉमर्स. Right. And now what does language do? It allows one person or one entity to communicate to another entity. And if you have a common language with a lot of entities, you can create interesting conversations or transactions. Right. So much like what Google Maps does for location, it takes those weird little numbers, those GPS coordinates, and instead of coordinates, it translates into something more meaningful. It translates it into the name of a place, a name of a street, a particular location you're on. And what Google Maps, what has enabled are innovations like Careem and Uber, right? They've enabled Foodpanda, for example. And what they've been able to do is take many disparate actors and connect them together using the language of location. You're not standing on a corner of a street saying, hey, I'm here, right? That language of location powered by GPS and Google Maps is doing that. So in that way, it can potentially, in the future, we create a universal language of commerce based on what we have in terms of our database. And then can we create interesting businesses around it where maybe instead of my bottle of water or Coke that I want coming from 3 kilometers away at a dark store is actually reliably sourced from the grocery store that is literally 20 meters away from me, and Chotu picks up the bottle and brings it to me, and I, instead of waiting even 5 minutes, I get it in 1 minute. Is that possible? Absolutely. But that's only possible when you start with creating the language. That's what we've done at Brandverse on in terms of our content business, is create that referenceable language for anyone selling anything, whether it's pharmaceutical goods, FMCG goods, or anything else.
Interesting. Tell me about Bazaar and a lot of these sort of retail players that came and popped up a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we worked with a lot of them.
In the context of the language that you speak about, what value do you think there exists with the work that you do with them?
So look, creating and managing content and catalogs is a business itself, right? If your core business is not content, it's better off that someone else does it. So in that sense, we provide them efficiency, right? We provide them a shorter path to quality, right? Which otherwise they would struggle with, which otherwise would be a distraction for them from their core business, which may be servicing their customers, merchants, moving goods, logistics, whatever it is. I'm a big believer in specialization, right? Much like we specialize in content, there are others who specialize in logistics, et cetera. We should not be afraid of partnering to find communal efficiencies, and we should not be afraid of paying for that efficiency. Mm. That's what leads to more effective business structures and a more effective economy. So we do it, we continue to do it, we continue to work with a whole host of businesses, and we really see ourselves in as boring infrastructure play, at least on the content side. And we'll continue to build this database and hope that businesses realize that this is not something they can always do themselves, and that there are better solutions to do it. And not just in the sense of cost efficiency, but also better ways to generate better quality, right? Through specialization.
In terms of one way of you throwing that content to them, is there a way to fetch the information? Let's say content is information, right? It's visual information, it's metadata information. Is there a way to take back pricing information? Because I think that would be fairly valuable when you're taking that. And so you've built that core where you're saying, okay, listen, I have a product that I've built an information sort of gateway for, and I'm now giving it to 300 different retailers who are now selling it on their own. There's a lot of value, I feel like, in knowing what those 300 different retailers eventually sell it for. Where are they based? So then you can begin to segment them according to region as well. And then there is a lot of knowledge from that information that can be extracted to optimize pricing. That I feel like in Pakistan, mein pricing is largely, apart from very, very big companies, largely wo bas whim pe hoti hai. Yaar, mood mera ye hai, toh main is tarah price kar deta hun. Uske upar zyada wo kaam nahi hoga.
So when you structure information, it opens up the opportunity to bring parity in terms of how information is shared and what is shared. And to your point, yes, this is something we're looking at. And it's something we've actually started building. But it's something we would have liked to have done much earlier, but it's proven to be much more difficult than we initially imagined, because the practices in terms of how content is used is not consistent either. Right? And there is no standard. Now, in Europe, there is a law which says that every single piece of information on a product that is on the physical packaging must be in its digital representation, so that digital consumers are not at a disadvantage to those that are shopping offline. There's no such protection in Pakistan. There's no such regulation in Pakistan. But when it comes, we'll be ready because we have all the information. But that'll also make a lot of this stuff much easier for consumers to be able to compare where and make better shopping decisions based not just on price, but also potentially quality.
Makes sense. You talked about collaboration earlier and partnerships and collaboration. मैं थोड़ा सा roll back करके fintech space में आऊँगा. Fintech में मैं जो पाकिस्तान में देखता हूँ ना, तो लोग wallets after wallets खोल रहे हैं, which is great. ज़ाहिर है पेनिट्रेशन की एक प्रॉब्लम रही है हिस्टोरिकली. वो सारे के सारे वो 10-12% जो जिनके पास बैंक अकाउंट भी है, उनके पास सादा पे भी है, उनके पास ईजी पैसा भी है, एंड सो ऑन. इट्स गेटिंग बेटर, आई एम नॉट गोना लाइ, आई वांट टू बी वन ऑफ दोज पीपल. बट जब भी मैं फिनटेक वालों से पूछता हूँ, तो वो कहते हैं कि यार, रियल मनी इज़ इन लैंडिंग, राइट? इट्स बेसिकली आइडेंटिफाइंग के कंज्यूमर को कौन सा कंज्यूमर जो है वो हमें पैसे वापस दे सकता है, और फिर उसको हम पैसे दें, लैंड करें फॉर रेलिवेंट थिंग्स, और वो उसको यूज़ करेगा और वैल्यू जनरेट करेगा और पैसे वापस करेगा. जब मैंने इसके ऊपर ज़्यादा डाइव किया, तो रियलाइज़ ये हुआ कि पाकिस्तान में द बिगेस्ट प्रॉब्लम, और इस पर हमारे पास मल्टीपल प्रॉब्लम्स आ चुके हैं. ईजी पैसा का स्कैंडल बहुत मशहूर ज़माना, مائکرو فائنینس پہ چلے جائیں وہاں مسئلہ, میکرو فائنینس پہ چلے جائیں تو وہ ہیسکال کا پرابلم جو آیا تھا اتنا بڑا. ایک جو میجر چلے ہیسکو شیسکو تو بہت ہی بڑے لیول کا پرابلم ہے نا, لیکن جو مائکرو پہ پرابلم آتا ہے وہ یہ آتا ہے کہ فار سم ریزن وی آر ان ایبل ٹو آئیڈینٹیفائی تھرو ڈیٹا کہ کون سا بندہ پیسے واپس کر سکتا ہے یا نہیں کر سکتا. کچھ عرصہ پہلے بائی ناؤ پے لیٹر والا ایک پورا سسٹم شروع ہوا جو کہ ایک کریڈٹ کارڈ فار دا ڈیجیٹل ایج افیکٹولی آ گیا, بٹ اس میں بھی یہی مسئلہ ہوا کہ جی اسٹارٹ میں گئے انہوں نے جا کے بھینکا اور اس کے بعد پھر سارا پیسہ دب گیا کیونکہ ڈیلنکوینسیز بہت زیادہ تھیں. اچھا ریسنٹلی آئی واز اسپیکنگ ٹو سم ون, دے آر اوپننگ اے ڈیجیٹل بینک, ابھی جو لائسنسز ملے ان میں سے ایک, اور انہوں نے کہا جی ہم ریولیوشنائز کریں گے اسپیس کیونکہ ہم جو ہے وہ مائکرو فائنینس کی طرف جا رہے ہیں اور ہم تو چھوٹے لیول کے ہر بندے کو لون دے سکیں گے. میں نے کہا جی بڑی زبردست بات ہے, تو ریولیوشنری ہے واقعی, کسی نے نہیں سوچا اس کے بارے میں. تو آپ مجھے یہ بتائیں کہ آپ انپٹس کیا لیں گے نا, کہ آپ کسی کو لون دے رہے ہیں تو انپٹس کیا ہوں گے. وہ انپٹس وہی کہ یار ہم کریڈٹ بیورو کے پاس جائیں گے, ہم جو ہے وہ پتہ نہیں نادرا کے پاس جائیں گے. یار جو چھوٹے لیول پہ بیٹھا ہے نہ وہ کریڈٹ بیورو پہ, نہ وہ نادرا پہ, نہ اس کے اوپر بینک کی انفارمیشن اسٹیٹ بینک کے پاس اس کا وہ چیک لسٹ آ رہی ہے. اور وہاں پہ میرا کوشچن اس میں یہ آتا ہے کہ یار یہاں پر ود دا کرنٹ پلیئرز دیٹ ایگزسٹ دیر از ایکچولی اے لاٹ آف ویلیو ان بیکمنگ این انٹرمیڈیئری جو کہ ڈیٹا صرف ایکسٹریکٹ کرے, رائٹ. سو فوڈ پینڈا, دراز, دس, دیٹ, وہ سارا جاتے ہیں آپ کا ٹیگڈ ٹو یور فون نمبر تھیوریٹیکلی, اس سے وہ ڈیٹا ایکسٹریکٹ کر کے تھیوریٹیکلی آئی کین کریٹ اے گریٹ کریڈٹ اسکور فار این انڈیویجول بیسڈ آن کے دراز کے کتنے آرڈرز اس نے منگوائے اور واپس بھیجے, بیسڈ آن فوڈ پینڈا پہ وہ کتنا ریگولرلی آرڈر کرتا ہے, بیسڈ آن سو آن اینڈ سو فورتھ. اینڈ آئی اسپوک ٹو ڈفرنٹ فوکس فرام اسٹارٹ اپ اسپیسز اینڈ ہمیشہ وہ آ کے یہ بات کرتے رہے ہیں کہ ہاں ہاں یہ ہم کر رہے ہیں, کریں گے ان شاء اللہ. بٹ نظر یہ آتا ہے کہ ایوری بڈی از ویری ان اے کنٹری ویئر ڈیٹا لارجلی از ان پروٹیکٹڈ کیپس آن یو نو آپ کا فون نمبر ڈالیں آپ کا ناطرا کا سارا انفارمیشن آ رہی ہے آن لائن, ایوری بڈی از ویری پروٹیکٹیو آف دیئر ڈیٹا, ایون ایف دے ناٹ ایون انٹرسٹڈ ان کہ یار ٹھیک ہے میں ڈیٹا کو صاف کروں گا, میں پرائیویٹ ڈیٹا ہٹا دوں گا, میں تو میں ایون کانٹیکسٹ بنا کر بھیج دوں گا, لیکن لیٹ کریٹ اے بزنس ماڈل آؤٹ آف اٹ, رائٹ. تم مجھ سے اے پی آئی کال کرو, 50 روپے لو, میرے سے یہ ڈیٹا لو, تم چار اور لوگوں سے اس طرح لو, مجھے بھی پیسہ مل رہا ہے, تمہیں بھی پیسہ مل رہا ہے. بٹ وہ لارجلی اپنی ایک چھوٹی سی پرابلم میں فوکسڈ ہیں. یہ بڑی بیسک ٹیک انیبلڈ پرابلم ہے جس کے تھرو اگین جس طرح آپ نے کہا کہ وہ جب لینگویج آف کامرس کے اندر لینگویج آف کریڈٹ اسکورنگ بھی بہت امپورٹنٹ لینگویج ہے, جس کی وجہ سے لارجلی ہمارا کنزیومر کلون شارکس پہ جاتا ہے, ہمارا کنزیومر جو ہے وہ جاتا ہے جا کے وہ دکانوں پہ جاتا ہے کہ جی 1 لاکھ روپے کی بائک جو ہے وہ 2.5 لاکھ کی ملے گی, قسطوں پہ مل جائے گی, دیٹ وی ہیون بین ایبل ٹو آپٹیمائز دیٹ. اینڈ میں نے یہ سوچا تھا کہ یہ شاید بہت پہلے ہو جائے گا, بٹ ڈیٹا کے اوپر کام کرنا ابھی تک زیادہ کمپنیز نہیں کر رہی. وہ آپریشنلی تو بہت کچھ کر رہی ہیں, میں ڈیجیٹائز کر دوں گا, میں یہ کر دوں گا, میں وہ کر دوں گا, لیکن اس کے پیچھے جو ڈیٹا جنریٹ ہو رہا ہے اس ڈیٹا کے اندر جو ایکس اماؤنٹ آف نیو ویلیو دیٹ از پوٹینشلی یو کین جنریٹ, دیٹ ویلیو از ناٹ ایکچوئلائزڈ بیکاز آف اے لیک آف کولیبوریشن اینڈ ڈیٹا شیئرنگ.
آئی ڈونٹ ڈس اگری. I think the real value of data reveals itself when you sort of add layers to it from other data sources. But if those data sources themselves are siloed, then you're only really seeing a, what I would say is potentially even a biased view, but if not a singular view of, let's say, a particular customer or a segment. Collaboration is not something that is easy in Pakistan for whatever reason. For the life of me, I haven't been able to figure out why it's so difficult. I think it's, yes, there's a lot of possessiveness around data, but also a lot of hesitance around cracking collaborations, working on meaningful partnerships.
Trust ka issue, do you think?
I don't know. Based on the number of MOUs that are signed in this country, you would assume that collaboration is happening left, right, and center. But, yeah, you know, if you really look past the MOUs,
yeah,
it doesn't really seem like much is happening, right? It's not, yeah, very meaningful. And I think it's trust. I think, you know, if it sounds like a good idea, sign a MOU, but if it's really, if it pans out and there's something behind it, then actually partner and get in bed. And I think that's what, there's just a lot of distrust, a lot of conversation that happens and not a lot of delivery. And I think that's more than ever before, that's where we need to hang our hat on, right? Which is actually delivering on it. But to your earlier point around the promise of data, right? your data-driven strategy for anything, marketing, pricing, whatever, is only as good as the quality of the data, right? If the data you're gathering is terrible, of poor quality, then so will the output be. Garbage in, garbage out. So why over-index on protecting your data, you know, that you don't know what the quality is? You're just assuming it's very good. Put it out there, test it. And the best way to test it is to let people use it and give you feedback on it. If you keep it to yourself in the hope one day that you're going to one day use it and leverage it to some benefit, we'll still be waiting. You know, today is 2023, we'll be 2030. We're still talking about all the data we have and the fact we're doing nothing with it.
Right. You talked about BrandBus. I know that there's Chico as well. What does that do? And how did that come about?
So we have this very large database of products. And we start really thinking about the fact that it can unlock tremendous efficiencies for sellers and merchants of all sizes. We're not just talking about the Carrefours of this world or the Hyperstars. We're talking about even the small merchant. But then you start thinking about the fact that, okay, how is the small merchant going to use this data? They're going to need a solution or a vector to leverage it, right?
What does that mean? Explain.
And the idea is that data by itself doesn't really help, right? So, I mean, it's kind of like saying that we have this chemical that can solve XYZ, but, you know, you can't hand the chemical over to a...
you need a public-facing...
You need to package it.
Packaging, right.
You have to package it in a way that's accessible and usable. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
It's kind of like coming up with a fantastic pill for weight loss, except it's, you know, massive packaging, right, that you can't swallow or consume. So it's not going to work. It's not compatible with people's mouths or their digestive systems, right? So in the same way, we really thought, okay, so we need to figure out a way to enable merchants or sellers to be able to leverage this data. And that's around the same time COVID hit. And at that point in time, there's a clamor with all the shutdowns, et cetera, to start selling online as a way of preserving business continuity in some way or form. And that's when we started creating Chico. Initially, the idea was, let's create Shopify for this part of the world. Right? Simple, very easy to use. And the key element of it would be that if you have 500 products in your store, you just scan 500 products and off to go. You know, you're ready to transact, right? Everything is figured out for you. You don't have to do any configuration, download an app, and there you go. But as time went on, and we started working with more and more of our customers much more closely, we started discovering they had many more business needs, right? They wanted to know how they were doing in terms of the business, in terms of financials. They wanted a way of managing inventory. They wanted reporting. They wanted a point of sale solution so that they could see everything from one window. They wanted a solution where they could see their own orders, their point of sale orders, the customers walking in, as well as their delivery customers, their e-commerce, as well as Foodpanda customers if you're a restaurant. They wanted everything in one place, and they wanted it so that it could make their life easier, so that they could focus their time and efforts on growing their business or making their business more profitable. And, you know, that sort of struck a note with me because, again, you know, from my time at Google, et cetera, and whatnot, we realized that technology is a enabler of growth. It's an enabler of profitability. It's an enabler of uplift for people's lives. So, you know, it felt like it was in our wheelhouse. So he said, okay, fine, let's build this out. And we kept building and building and building and building. And, you know, we're in a pretty happy space as far as the product goes today.
What's the product for, again, a layman? If I do, it's an app. Right. So if I do
it's
download,
an app. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on your laptop.
So let's assume I download the app on my phone. What do I get out of it?
In 30 seconds, you'll set up a digital version of your business.
Okay. So it's like a digital shop.
Yeah. So you will be able to use that platform to cater to customers that walk into your store, cater to orders that you're receiving over Facebook or Instagram, cater to orders on your own website. Let's say you're a restaurant, even orders that are coming from things like Foodpanda or aggregators like Foodpanda, all in one place. all your customer information, all your financial information, all your order information, all in one place in the palm of your hand.
And the, let's say, jo digital wale hain, website pe aa raha hai, Shopify ki through, Foodpanda ki app se aa raha hai, do you have to individually add all of those orders? Or is there some sort of a data linkage?
It's all interconnected, magical, out of the box. And the idea is that it's one app or one solution, and it can help you manage every aspect of your small or medium business. It's not something we designed for, you know, large corporates. It's being used by some large corporates, but it's not something we designed for them. We designed for the little guy in mind.
Right. But it's largely a behind-the-scenes product. So it's the engine
it's
of their
operating
business.
Operating system for your business.
For your business. You're not saying, ki, listen, hamare pe aa jao. And then phir hamare through hi ek shop create ho jayegi aur hamare through hi commerce karo. Aap hi keh rahe hain ki yaar commerce tumhara apna sar ka dard hai, tum physical kar rahe ho, tum apni website pe kar rahe ho, hum sirf data gather karke tumhe centralized reporting denge.
We are giving you the tools.
Right.
So when you download our platform or start using our platform, if you want a website, we'll give you a website.
Okay, you can do that as well.
Yeah, instantly, right? If you want a point of sale, use the point of sale that we have. If you don't want to use ours, use someone else. You can use that too. You want to sell on Foodpanda? Great. We'll connect your Foodpanda account to it. You want to sell on Daraz? We can connect your Daraz account to it as well, right? You want analytics, reports, etc. You pick and choose what you want out of the platform and use it.
Interesting.
But if you have nothing else, or if you have disparate pieces, what we offer you is a fully integrated solution that is a delight to use, right? And, you know, that's where we hang our hat on. A lot of people focus on consumer experience, right? Okay, how will the end customer like it? Our entire focus is on the merchant.
Right.
We're solving for the merchant's experience.
What about the point of sale? So in terms of, let's say, ke main sadar mein ek meri shop hai aur main XYZ cheezein bechta hu. Electronics shop hai, wo China wali, Thailand wali electronics, 3,000 to 5,000 ki consumer goods, home electronics. Maine aapka wo system liya aur maine point of sale uska add kar diya. अच्छा अब क्योंकि ये सारी की सारी प्रोडक्ट का थियोरेटिकली बारकोड एग्जिस्ट करता है तो जब मैंने उसका बारकोड स्कैन किया तो वो मेरे उधर से उसने डेटा फेच करके उस पर ऐड कर दिया ऐसा ही है
yeah you right. can add so typically when you get a point of sale solution you have to feed it all the data of your products
right
you don't need to do that with Chiku you can either just scan the product and add it to your catalog or we have a version of it where you don't even have to scan the product. Every single time you scan the product, it'll go fetch the information from our database. So it's actually something that requires zero setup. So someone who has never used a point of sale, doesn't know how to configure it or anything like that, can literally load the app and start creating bills and invoices based off just off the barcodes with zero configuration.
Interesting.
And that's the value when you integrate everything.
And but for those jo ke set hai, इसमें इन्वेंट्री मैनेजमेंट भी हो रही है स्टार्ट में आ रहा है तो मैं कह रहा हूँ कि यार आज वो आए हैं 10 कार्टन उसके हैं इसमें 50 ऑफ द सेम प्रोडक्ट है मैंने एक प्रोडक्ट वो की और मैंने उसमें डाल दिया 50 और मैंने साथ प्राइस डाल दी और अब वो मेरे सिस्टम में एडेड है अब कस्टमर आया
सिस्टम में भी एडेड है वेबसाइट पे भी आ गए अगर आप दराज ये Foodpanda पे भी एंटर वहाँ पे भी
सब पे भी चले गए
इंस्टेंटली
अब कस्टमर आया उसने आके वो डब्बा उठाया उसने आके सामने रख दिया अब मैंने उस पर गया और मैं उसको स्कैन करूंगा तो मैं उस पर वो आ गया उस पर जो मैंने प्राइस डाली वो प्राइस आ गई उसको मैंने इनवॉइस जनरेट कर दी
बिल्कुल
इनवॉइस जनरेट हो गई तो वो जो है वो जाके हर जगह पे अपडेट कर दिया उसने कि जी -1 ऐसा ही है
या एब्सोल्युटली
सो दिस इज डूइंग एवरीथिंग ऑन देयर स्मार्टफोन और अ टैबलेट फॉर दैट
स्मार्टफोन टैबलेट वेब लैपटॉप ब्राउजर लैपटॉप डेस्कटॉप जो भी आप चाहे किसी भी होता है एंड व्हाट वी हैव नाउ डन इज आल्सो पुट इट ऑन द कार्ड मशीन एंड दैट्स व्हाट वी आर डूइंग विद बैंक अल्फा
So that was the announcement.
Absolutely. So we took that device.
So
we
Android wali devices aana shuru ho gaye.
Absolutely. The device that's sitting on so many retailers' counters today and not doing anything other than processing payments and churning out receipts can do so much more.
Yeah.
So what we did was take our entire platform and embed it on that device. So that device today can be that, can live at the heart of your business. You can use that device now to manage your inventory, e-commerce, all of that. Right from that device and payments.
So आपने उसमें pay click किया उसने उसी वक्त revert की अल्फला की app के ऊपर उसने card की वो NFC on कर दी. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. That's exactly how it works. And you do it and you get two receipts. One receipt is for the customer, but that receipt for the customer includes all the items that were sold plus the transaction information on one piece of paper, right? And then one receipt for the merchant if they want it. Now think about the fact that we've just by through this process, mm-hmm. we've married cardholder information, mm-hmm. right? Customer information, in other words, with line item level data.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when you do a transaction at a retail point of sale mm-hmm. or anywhere else, what information does a bank see? All they
Final
see...
Final rate, the exact...
They see an amount, and they see a time, and a merchant ID, and maybe some information about a merchant, right? That's all they see. Today, if you transact on our system and we identify you as a customer, either by name or by card or by phone number, but through a loyalty program or anywhere else, we can tie that purchase history to you. So we know, for example, that if you're buying diapers, based on the type of diapers you're buying, I can tell what the age of your child is, right? I can also tell you whether your child is sick at any given point in time. And think about what this means in terms of marketing ability and insight. Because if your child is sick, if you've got a young child, is that possibly the best opportune time to talk to you about health insurance or life insurance? A lot of marketers would say, I'd kill for that opportunity to know when this is happening. And these are the sort of possibilities, slightly creepy, but very powerful, that we can make happen.
Interesting. Again, I'm going to talk a little bit about user experience ko samajhna cha raha hu. Historically aapne or I really want to talk about digitizing the physical retail spaces, right? So sure. We talk a lot about e-commerce and we talk a lot about ki yaar samaan uthao aur jaake online bechna shuru kar do, but the fact of the matter is, and particularly COVID and post COVID ne hame ye sikhaya ki COVID mein humne kaha ab to sab digitally hoga. Aahista logon ne kaha ki yaar nahi, physical is important as well. And so majority of your commerce chahe wo digital को लेवरेज कर ले, वो जो है ना आई टी और आई टी इनेबल्ड सर्विसेज वाली सिचुएशन, देयर इज नॉट अ लॉट ऑफ वर्क दैट इज बीइंग डन इन पाकिस्तान टू डिजिटाइज द एग्जिस्टिंग इकोसिस्टम जो कि दुनिया में हो गया, राइट? सो आप जाते हैं, आप बाहर के किसी स्टोर में जाते हैं तो आपके पास जो है वो शेल्फ्स पे चीज़ें, बड़े बड़े स्टोर्स हैं, शेल्फ्स पे चीज़ें पड़ी हुई हैं, दरमियान में बारकोड स्कैनर्स हैं, आपने रनटाइम में प्राइस कर लिया, आपको बंदे की ज़रूरत नहीं है. आप गए तो उसके बाद स्कैनर है, उसने स्कैन करके उसने ऑप्टिमाइज़ किया टाइम कि यार जल्दी जल्दी हुआ और आगे निकल गया, पर्चियां खत्म होना शुरू हो गई. इट्स अ लॉट ऑफ दी स्मॉल प्रोसेसेस दैट यू डिजिटाइज एंड देन इट अलाउज फॉर एफिशिएंट बिजनेस प्रैक्टिसेस. माय अंडरस्टैंडिंग इज जो आपने अभी चीकू का बयान किया है, दैट डज अ लॉट ऑफ दिस सॉर्ट ऑफ डिजिटाइजिंग द फिजिकल रिटेल स्पेस. बट इसी कॉन्टेक्स्ट के अंदर सम ऑफ द टूल्स दैट हैव हिस्टोरिकली बीन यूज्ड, राइट, जिसमें एक ये है कि जी बारकोड एक ग्लोबल बारकोड सिस्टम स्ट्रक्चर है, बट पाकिस्तान में आपको पता है कि यार ए कैटेगरी, बी कैटेगरी, सी कैटेगरी, कॉपी कैटेगरी, हर किस्म का माल है. एंड सो काफ़ी ज़्यादा पाकिस्तान में रिटेलर्स जो हैं वो अपना जनरेट कर रहे होते हैं. लेट यू गो टू लाइक लेट्स से दिस डी वॉटसन टाइप्स, तो उनके ऊपर एक स्टिकर लगा हुआ होगा जो कि उनके बार कोड का स्टिकर होगा, एक कंपनी के बार कोड का स्टिकर होगा, एक अपने बार कोड का होगा, उनका एक्चुअली एक लोकलाइज किस्म का बार कोड मैनेजमेंट सिस्टम चल रहा होगा, राइट? जिसमें आपकी एक सॉर्ट ऑफ एक जो सेंट्रल सिस्टम है दैट हैज़ टू कम्युनिकेट विद ए प्रिंटिंग मशीन, अ स्टिकर प्रिंटिंग मशीन दैट विल कीप ऑन प्रिंटिंग एंड एडिंग टू व्हाटएवर. एंड देन आपके पास जो है वो बारकोड रीडर्स बहुत सारे वो होते हैं, सिंपल लाइन वाले भी होते हैं, अब तो मल्टी लाइन वाले भी आ गए. इन दिस कॉन्टेक्स्ट एट दिस पॉइंट इन टाइम जो आपका सोल्यूशन है बारकोड का, तो आपने बोल दिया कि हमने कैमरा को, अब आजकल टेक्नोलॉजी ऐसी है कि कैमरे को यूज़ करके वी कैन यूटिलाइज दैट एंड वी कैन बाईपास दिस सॉर्ट ऑफ एक्स्ट्रा कॉस्ट दैट इज़ रिक्वायर्ड. बट इन टर्म्स ऑफ लेट्स से प्रिंटिंग मशीन्स एंड अदर सॉर्ट ऑफ कमर्शियल प्रोडक्ट्स, आर यू एट दिस पॉइंट इन टाइम एबल टू कम्युनिकेट विद देम एंड क्रिएट दैट इकोसिस्टम?
या, सो इवन विद दैट एंड्रॉइड बेस्ड कार्ड प्रोसेसिंग मशीन, यू कैन कनेक्ट अ बारकोड स्कैनर टू इट एंड इट विल वर्क.
रियली?
या. So
how does that work, like Bluetooth or
USB-C?
Acha.
Right? Or micro USB, so it works and plugs in and it works. You know, our system supports all of this, but I think there are two points that come across as quite interesting from your thing. A, world over, the desire for use of technology tends to be efficiency, right? How many businesses do you know in Pakistan that truly believe and desire efficiency? Because if they did, I think we'd be looking at a different business landscape. Typically, what drives the use of technology in Pakistan beyond efficiency is control or visibility, right? to know what is happening. It's typically when the business owner realizes that he doesn't know what's happening in his business or how much he's losing or how much he's making. That is what drives the use of digitization. So regardless of what the case is or what the motivation is, our solution caters to it, right? It caters to the needs of business owners, but also the operators, right? And we fundamentally believe there's a tremendous opportunity in Pakistan to address these concerns and meaningfully digitize a lot of these businesses in a way that results hopefully in a much stronger economy.
In terms of, and this is the last question on Chiku, but in terms of now that you have, let's say, a POS system, is it live now? Is it
It's being used all across Pakistan.
So let's assume that there's a medium-sized superstore, general store, mm-hmm. that's using this.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's using this system, so it has a inventory management system as well.
Yes.
And because it has the inventory management system, the logical next step would be to automate the ordering process,
mm-hmm.
right? Which my understanding is Bazaar and all of those people are doing. At this point in time, is there a connectivity that allows for automation of that through partners maybe?
On our side?
On yes. your side, yes.
Yes. We're waiting for our partners to catch up. And okay. be ready to be able to connect their pipe it into our system. But yes, on our side, yes. So the way we see it is when we digitize a merchant or a seller, we want to enable them to digitize backwards and forwards their interactions. So backwards into the supply chain, right. they should be able to procure, manage, and pay for the goods that they sell or their imports through our system.
Mm.
And outwards in the sense that the consumers who buy from them should be able to transact with them, pay them, etc., also through the same channels. So whether it's e-commerce, whether it's walk-in customers, point of sale, through aggregators, and then dealing with a bouquet of supply-side actors, we should be able to bring efficiency, elegance, and delight to the merchant experience, right? Mm. Create experience that the merchant goes and says, I don't know how I lived without it before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal.
Because mm-hmm. logical hai na, agar uska merchant ka ek part of his process is to ke inventory ka khatam ho rahi hai, acha mujhe Sunday ko jana hai, chote ko dukaan hai bitha ke wo jaunga, ja ke maal sara uthaunga. Technically, agar wo data already available hai, so distributor ko aana chahiye aur kehna chahiye ke yaar tumhara maal kam ho raha hai, main tumhe is price. Like it's a great marketing opportunity for the distributor, segmented, targeted, अवेलेबल कि यार तुम्हारे ही एरिया के अंदर तुम उस दुकान पे जाते हो मीनवाइल तीन स्टॉप छोड़ के एक और दुकान है जिसका माल खत्म हो रहा है जाते हुए उसको भी पूछ लो डू यू थिंक दैट्स पॉसिबल
एब्सोल्युटली आई थिंक द थिंग दैट यू हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड इज अ लॉट ऑफ व्हाट वी डू इज वी हैव अ पर्टिकुलर टाइप ऑफ थिंकिंग एंड वी कॉल इट पार्टनर फर्स्ट राइट सो एवरीथिंग दैट समवन एल्स कुड डू बेटर देन अस we would rather let them do it and integrate with them and partner with them on it. If we're creating value for someone, let's partner with them. If they can do it better than us, let's partner with them. If and only when they are not doing something and we can do it better than them in some very meaningful way, and I'm not saying 5% better or 10% better, but I'm saying significantly better, only then should we do it ourselves. And that's why we want to be effectively the layer amongst for the merchant through which he interacts backwards and onwards. And the way we create value is to make the merchant's life easier. The more we do that, the better experience that it is for the merchant. And for us, that means we need to look at all the different people a merchant interacts with, whether that's a bank, whether that's a supplier, whether it's his employees, right, or her employees, and really solve for all of that, right? Mm. For us, that means thinking about payroll automation. Mm. And how can we create value for the merchant's employees? Can we offer them health insurance? Can we offer them incentives to use digital payments? I'm not talking about the merchant. I'm talking about his employees or her employees now. That's the idea, right? We've got a very ambitious roadmap that we'll continue to build. And our singular North Star, right, in terms of what we're chasing, is that idea when the merchant comes back to us and says, thank you. Right, because you've made my life easier, because you've created value for me. And that's our goal, right? More than anything else, money will follow, right? The business models will follow, the revenue streams will follow. it's very easy to monetize happy customers, right? It is very difficult to monetize upset customers, and that's what we're trying to avoid, and we're trying to find create delight.
Makes sense. So I wanna understand the structure part of all of your startups. There are three, as I distributed.
Two.
So Brandverse jo hai wo Chiku ke under hi aati hai.
Chiku is under Brandverse.
Chiku is
a platform, right? That's on Brandverse.
So PayPro. तो आपने कहा था कि वो आपके वालिद साहब ने शुरू किया, उसका तो आई एम अज्यूमिंग
इट्स sort of gone through multiple evolutions. I sit on the board now.
You sit on the board now.
Yeah. But I'm not operationally involved.
Okay. What about Brandverse? Co-founders कितने हैं? क्या situation है?
I have a co-founder.
Okay. Who is?
At Brandverse, Faizan Siddiqui.
Right.
He sort of brings a wealth of experience from.
What was he doing before this?
A bunch of things, but he was the group chief operating officer of TCS. Prior to that, he was at the Jung Group and was heading digital media there, or the digital media side of the business. Prior to that, he was working with TRG, Affinity, GE. His resume goes on.
Say it. So it's primarily two of you guys.
We have a very large team. It's it's a burgeoning 130 odd people,
right,
across the two divisions, and we're very, very grateful to have a very strong second layer that sort of looks after day to day things, so that we can do things like this.
Interesting. And tell me about funding. So at the, at any point did you receive funding? Kaunse level pe, kaunse round pe, publicly available information hai ki kitni?
Yeah, so we've raised a total of about $2.5 million worth of funding to date. And we've raised largely from institutional investors in Pakistan.
Okay, can you name any?
Well, the institutional investor that I can name in Pakistan is the JS Bank.
Okay.
Which is a large sort of a bank in Pakistan. Given our sort of fintech aspirations, it makes strategic sense.
And this 2.5 million is for Brandverse or both?
It's for Brandverse.
Okay.
PayPro has a separate set of investors. But for Brandverse, we've been fortunate to receive investment from them, and you know, they've been good to us. And I think a lot of the reason why that's worked out is they have a very good understanding of the Pakistani market and realities, and expectations have been accordingly tuned. You know, so it's not outsized or outlandish expectations that come with the money, which, you know, is some of the problems that we see here with VC.
Interesting. Pehle to ye batayenge ki a partnership aapne Bank Al-Falah ke saath ki, investor JS Bank tha, to why not JS Bank?
JS Bank at this particular moment does not have an acquiring business. So they're not in the business of acquiring payments. It's something that they're building out, and we look forward to working with them on it. If you had to have a choice to work with a particular bank in Pakistan in respect to payments, I think the only choice in that sense is Bank Al-Falah, given their history.
How so?
One of the largest acquirers in e-commerce and retail today, probably
bigger than HBL.
I'm not sure in terms of volumes or sizes, but consider that, you know, in terms of internet payments, they're probably among the largest, if not the largest.
Right.
They've got a massive footprint. They've been in this business longer than anyone else, more or less. If you'd remember when card machines came out in the very first, it was Bank Al-Falah. I think UBL might have been there as well, but it was largely Bank Al-Falah. So there's a tremendous amount of experience, a lot of ambitions. And remember, this is still a relatively young bank, right? Yeah. I think it's 1997 is when the bank was formed. So, I mean, we're talking about less than 30 years. So they're aggressive.
Are they still with the Abu Dhabi group?
Yes, as far as I know.
Right. And dusra mujhe ye bataye, you didn't go with VCs, jo pop-up kar rahe hote hain aajkal, bahut sare naam, bade achhe, well respected bhi hain. Indus Valley Capital hai, DOSI Ventures hai, khud ghair early stage hai, Zen Capital hai.
Yeah.
Did any of them invest in you? And if not, why did you go for an institutional one rather than a...
I don't think as entrepreneurs or a business, we are a good fit for VCs. the reason for that is we are very hyper realistic in our outlook. Myself and Faizan, my co-founder, we find it very difficult to lie to ourselves or give in to delusions of grandeur. So given that, it's very difficult for us to spin a fantastical tale that I understand why people want it.
Mm.
We're just unwilling to give it. Mm.
Do you think that's going to change? Sorry, I've completed it.
Sorry, just to complete my thought. That's not to say I don't appreciate what VCs do. And, you know, our earlier conversation, we talked about the fact that, you know, what VCs do is basically God's work, right?
Right.
It's backing ambitious founders, trying to do world-changing ideas, create value out of nothing, and doing it with the realization it could all go down to zero.
Mm.
So to me, it's one of the most honorable things to be doing, and also one of the riskiest things. It sounds insane in many ways, but I understand the business. It's great. I just don't think VC is necessarily for everyone. Mm. And certainly not for every Pakistani company either. We are a low, slow burn because our market is developing, right? The market's understanding of what we are selling is developing.
Mm.
The market's not ready today, and we never said it was. We said that we're going to have to combat the headwinds, but we also have to ride the tailwinds. And our hypothesis is that the tailwinds and what we're building will eventually prove to be a greater force than the headwinds in this market.
Do you think the current VCs or the current thought process, at least, is not conducive to playing the long game in Pakistan? My understanding is any VC would not really consider Pakistan an easy money market. Wo to long game hi khelne aaya hai. But isi ko agar main further wo karun, ke I do understand 2020 se 2021 pump and dump scheme chal rahi thi puri duniya mein, aur usi ke remnants humne Pakistan mein bhi dekhe. Aur wo pressure jab upar se aa raha tha ke yeah, you know what, burn and multiply and then, you know, get acquired. Wo pressure ab hamare paas bhi aaya. But going forward, do you think jo calculus hai wo ab thoda redesign hona shuru ho gaya hai globally and then maybe in Pakistan as well, jahan par ab thoda sa ye kaha ja raha hai ki okay, cash positive dikhao, slow chalo, fundamentals fix karo, sim durust karo, ya do you think ke wo abhi ek jhatka laga hai, wo wapas market frenzy mein jayegi aur fir wo agla frenzy start ho jayega?
So I don't know where somehow in this story in the last few years there was a disconnect between building a business and building a startup. When you're building a startup, you're building a business. At the end of the day, the business needs to make money. That's got to be the goal. The only difference was that the startup was allowed to be more ambitious and have more time to achieve some form of viability. Somehow that seems to have gotten lost in translation, right? Where it was translated into growth at all costs, right? Exit before anything else, or focus on exits, etc. and whatnot. And I fundamentally disagree with that approach. At the end of the day, every startup is supposed to be a business. It needs to be value additive, not value subtractive, which means at some point in time, sooner or later, it needs to make money. The plausibility of any startup hypothesis is related to the idea that, you know, is directly related to whether that startup or that idea or the fundamentals of that business look like at some point in time they're going to turn over from red to black, right? And the reason why we're in that business today is we believe that, yes, today we are in the red, right? But we will turn it into black. And the hope is that we're not delusional, right? And we haven't gotten high off our own supply, etc., and we're not believing our own bullshit. So that's the plan, right? And I think we just need to be honest with ourselves, right? And I think the reality is that certainly there is no gold rush of VC money coming in, and there shouldn't be right now. I think there's some really fantastic companies that VC should be looking at and investing in. They are truly large ideas that could change the Pakistani economy, and their ideas being built in Pakistan that could scale across markets, and those are worth investing in. But certainly, you know, no shotgun approach of go wild with money, etc., or go burn, etc. And I don't think that's healthy for the market either.
Do you think, or rather, what are your thoughts on what's happened, the bloodbath that has happened in the startup ecosystem over the last year and a half. Wo pehle wo Swivel ka exit hua, phir Airlift ka hua, phir wo exit se murad dusre wala exit nahi, bure wala exit. And then wo ek gaadi wali company thi.
Car first,
I think wo jo gaadiyan khareed ke bechti thi aage. Turkish ya kaun si thi. And so uske baad se humne dekha, phir hame sunne mein aaya ke دستگیرز اینڈ دس اینڈ دیٹ کہ جی وہ ریٹیل ہو کہہ رہا ہے کہ نہیں ہم پاکستان میں آپریشن ختم کر کے ہم دوسری مارکیٹس میں چلے جائیں گے. تو چاہے وہ بند نہ بھی ہوں تو وہ اپنے آپ کو نا وہ ری ڈیزائن کر رہے ہیں اپنی لینگویج کو کہیں نہ کہیں سروائیو کرنے کے لیے. اف یو ور ٹو گیو اینڈ اگین میں اس کو اس پہ کروں گا کہ ہمارے یہاں پاکستان میں ایک ویئرڈ مسئلہ ہے ویئر کامنٹنگ آن اینی تھنگ از کنسیڈرڈ ایز اٹس کنسیڈرڈ اے نیگیٹو تھنگ. Which I feel like is not globally.
That's okay, I'm an unfashionable person.
But well, generally, now for the consumer as well, right? Ke critique all over the world is considered a good thing. It's considered as, ke yaar, haan, I feel like ye cheez is wajah se nahi ki. And then the other person can come and answer that as well. But Pakistan mein, we largely try to stay away from it. Hum bas apni cheez ke baare mein baat karna chahte hain. Jaisi dusri cheez ke baare mein aati hai, to wo ek YouTube pe video aa jati hai. Kisne iske baare mein kya kaha, dekho zara, you know, phadda. What I'm trying to understand is, what is your thought on ke what went wrong there? They weren't bad people. They were trying to do good things, create good value. But obviously, model میں پرابلم ہو سکتی ہے, اسٹرکچر میں پرابلم ہو سکتی ہے, فارمیٹ میں پرابلم ہو سکتی ہے. واٹ یور تھاٹ آن وائی دیر واز اے سچ اے ہیوج رائز اینڈ دین این ایکولی فاسٹ کولیپس.
آئی ڈونٹ نو اف آئی کین آنسر آل آف دوز کوئسچنز, بٹ لیٹ می ٹرائی ٹو لیٹس ٹرائی ٹو ٹیک دس بٹ بائی بٹ. واٹ وینٹ رانگ, I don't think it was necessarily the fault of the entrepreneurs. Their responsibility is to dream big, to try to change the world. So they did, and they, you know, people bought into the idea, backed it. Good for them. I think the only challenge was that the expectations were unrealistic. They were disconnected from the realities on the ground. And, you know, the problem with money is that money comes with expectations, right? Expectations of return. But it's not just about how much I'm going to get back when I give you money or how much I'm expecting back. It's about how and when and how quickly, right? And if it comes back with the wrong expectations, it can put tremendous pressure on these businesses and these startups to do things that they maybe shouldn't be doing. Growth hacking sounds cool, but it also sounds very dangerous, right? Hacking doesn't always work out, right? So I think the challenge was that we got too much money too quickly with the wrong expectations, and it also resulted in the eventual deflation. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. But this leads to my second point. We shouldn't worry. We shouldn't care. Mm-hmm. If anything, what we should do is celebrate failure. Right? And that's a very weird thing to say within the Pakistani context. They're like, failure, you're going to celebrate it. That's not something we do. You know, we hide and we disappear and we move out of the country, yeah, etc. No, celebrate it, right? Because failure is the process through which innovation happens. Failure is the process or the step that you go through to eventually get success. You don't get success on your first try. You have to fail over and over and over again. So if we look at what we are saying as failures of the ecosystem or startups, that's okay. That's a way of how we get to those models that work, right? It's how we eliminate. It's how we learn, right? And the one thing I would say to the entire ecosystem is that sharing the stories of failure does not weaken the ecosystem. What it does is make it stronger, because people know what mistakes to avoid. People know what expectations are incorrect, right? So it is incredibly important that when failure happens, we do postmortems. And these are not postmortems that need to be written by investigative journalists. These are postmortems that need to be written and told as a part of, as stories by the VCs and by the entrepreneurs themselves, because that's when it has credibility. That's when it carries weight, right? And that's how we end up with a stronger ecosystem.
Yeah, it's interesting, because agar wo unki taraf se khud aayega to kya sarayiyan kam hongi na jo kisi market mein ho rahi hain, aur phir wo har kisam ki रैंडम स्टोरी अटैच हो जाती है एंड फिर अगेन वो इट्स फजिंग द डेटा. I'm gonna wrap this up. I know that you do have to go to another meeting. मैंने startups के बारे में बहुत कुछ आपसे पूछना था, so I'm hoping to take a promise for round two whenever you're next in town.
Sure.
But Raza bhai, this was supremely insightful. More so because I'll be very honest. Consumer के साथ भी I'll be very honest. I've been मेरा दिल नहीं कर रहा conversations करने का for a while now. पाकिस्तान के हालात एक जगह पर थे बट दुनिया के हालात भी एक जगह पर हैं इस वक्त और सेंटिमेंट इज़ नॉट दैट गुड. अगर मैं जनरली बात करूँ तो नोबडी गिव्स टू शिट्स अबाउट स्टार्टअप्स राइट नाउ. पीपल केयर अ लॉट मोर अबाउट द सोशल साइड ऑफ थिंग्स केयर. मेरा रोटी कपड़ा मकान कहाँ पे होगा, जो बच्चे मर रहे हैं दुनिया में उन बच्चों का क्या होगा, इसका क्या होगा, उसका क्या होगा. एंड सो मेरा जनरली इंटरेस्ट एरिया ये है. मुझे खुद पर्सनली समझ नहीं आ रही थी. एंड सो द कॉन्वर्जेशन दैट आई इवन आई डन रिसेंटली During those conversations and after, मैं खुद बस था कि चलो कर रहे हैं आज मुझे बहुत मजा आया. I just wanted to tell you that. What you're doing is incredible. मुझे फालतू का चूना बिल्कुल भी नज़र नहीं आया और मुझे बहुत कोर नज़र आया जो कि शायद लॉन्ग टर्म में एक्चुअलाइज करे बट वो करेगा एटलीस्ट बेस्ड ऑन वॉट द कॉन्वर्जेशन दैट यू हैड. मैं अगेन यहाँ पर आई टेक दिस मोमेंट टू टॉक अबाउट कि क्या चीज़ें मुझे बहुत ज़्यादा रिसेंटली बहुत करती रही हैं. तो उसमें देर हैव बिन पीपल हुव बिन ऑन द शो जिन्होंने आके बहुत अच्छी बातें की हैं. आई हैव बिन फेयरली इम्प्रेस्ड. एंड देन फिर उनको अनसेरेमोनियसली फायर करके पता लगा कि उनकी कंपनी जो है वो बहुत बड़ा मैसिव लेवल का चूना लगा रही है. मोस्ट रिसेंटली अगर आप जाके देख लें तो 15 अरब के नंबर्स को 150 अरब पे इन्फ्लेट करके एक डिजिटल बैंक कह लें उसको या माइक्रो फाइनेंस कंपनी कह लें, तो वो आप देख सकते हैं. हमारे पास उसकी पॉडकास्ट भी होगी. तो मुझे वो ऑनेस्टी इफ़ दैट इज़ ऑनेस्ट अच्छी लगी, मज़ा आया. एंड आई होप टू हैव दिस कन्वर्सेशन अगेन. आई एम गोना आस्क यू वन लास्ट क्वेश्चन दैट आई जनरली आस्क ऑल ऑफ माय गेस्ट्स एंड आई वांट योर इनसाइट ऑन दैट एज वेल. हाउ डू यू सी पाकिस्तान ऑफ 2050 26 years from now, considering this airs in 2024, knowing what you know now, seeing what you've seen, you've lived in Dubai, you've lived in Oman, and you've lived in Canada, and I'm sure you've traveled all across. Dunia ko dekh ke, Pakistan ko dekh ke, Google mein rehte huye, bahut sari developing markets ko study karte huye, Pakistan ko 26 saal baad aap kaisa dekh rahe hain?
It's a complex and deep question. I'll tell you what I know. I think Pakistan will be stronger than it is today. It will be hopefully economically better off. It will be hopefully at a social level more at ease with itself and its own reality. But I don't know what that means for Pakistan within the larger global scheme of things. Because the things that I mention, these are all inevitability. These things just take time. And, you know, I had a very interesting conversation recently that, you know, Pakistan is, it's a baby. It's only 75 years old when it comes to countries, and it's still very, very young. And it's, you know, it's a very large country with tremendous complications. You know, you've got a complex cultural fabric, etc. Maybe the expectations of VCs and Pakistan is wrong, but maybe the expectations of Pakistanis and Pakistan is also wrong, right? Yes, everyone believes the grass is greener on the other side. Everyone believes Pakistan should be further along than we are today. We should not be in the quagmire that we find ourselves repeatedly. But maybe we are where we were supposed to be, because this is one of those paths that we have to cross towards where we're going to be, right? Or where we're supposed to be. And that's okay. I think you can't defeat the idea of Pakistan. So that'll continue to exist. That'll continue to grow. And it'll continue to strengthen. I don't know if I'll be in Pakistan in 26 years, right? But I fundamentally hope it is a place that my child called home.
That makes a lot of sense, Raza bhai. Thank you so much for coming in, sharing all that insight. I hope ٹو سی کہ وہ جو خاص کا جو الفلاح والی اناؤنسمنٹ ہے آپ کی دیٹ مٹیریلائزز ان این ایکسائٹنگ وے اور جو ریٹیل کو ڈیجیٹائز کرنے والا آپ کا وہ ہے آئی وانٹ ٹو سی دیٹ ان ایکشن اگر آپ کوئی اپنی کمپنی کو بولیں کوئی ویڈیو شیڈیو بنا کر ڈالیں تو دیٹ وی کین ایکچولی سی ہاؤ اٹ ورکس ایز ویل بٹ تھینک یو سو مچ فار کمنگ ان
Definitely well. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And for all of you guys, thank you so much for watching. If you episode pasand aayi ho apne doston ke saath zarur share kariyega. Niche comment section mein ja ke bataye what do you think about the Pakistani startup ecosystem? What are your thoughts on why startups failed? What are your thoughts on everything that we've shared and discussed in this conversation? Let me know in the comment section below. YouTube wale like ka button dabayenge kya badi zyada logon tak hamari conversation pahunchegi. Audio platforms wale subscribe ka button dabayenge aane wale episodes ki aapko notification milegi. But anyways, this was Sayyid Muzammil Hasan Zaidi. You're watching Thought Behind Things. Thank you so much for watching and I'll see you in the next one.